Hello.
Hey, Soraya, it's Jeff.
Hey.
So today we're talking to Derek C.
Yes, sir.
I'm anxious to talk to him about a few things. I had no idea who this guy was until relatively recently when his name came up on a few podcasts. And then come to learn he's been involved in several projects, and I'm really excited to talk to him about his band, The Gentle Cycle.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started.
Sounds good. Hi, this is Soraya.
And this is Jeff.
Our podcast is called Paisley Stage Raspberry and Rhyme.
A podcast where the two of us play music that we like and share anecdotes and background about the tunes.
We hope you'll join our conversation. And without further ado, a groovear.
Let's get groovy. All right, I got him added on. We'll click him in right now.
Hello?
Hello, Derek. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I have my co-host, Soraya, on the line.
Hi, Derek.
Hi. Hi, Soraya.
So we're super excited to get to talk to you. We have a few things that we wanted to talk to you about, but I wanted to go ahead and get started. So for our
All right. Sounds good.
Let's do this. So for our listeners, on today's podcast, Soraya and I are thrilled to be able to speak with multi-instrumentalist Derek C. Derek is currently playing guitar for Rain Parade. He's recently recorded with the band for their contributions to the 3x4 project. And he's also played with Matt Pucci's other project, The Helenes. And Derek has also been playing guitar with the Chocolate Watch Band since the fall of 2015, which is pretty cool. And he's released a couple of solos.
Yeah,
that's really cool. We're going to ask you more about that in a bit. But he's also released a couple of solo CDs and worked with bands Bangirl Group Review, Careless Hearts, and a few others. But today, we mainly want to focus on a record that Soraya and I have both been enjoying, and that's Derek's band, The Gentle Cycle. So Derek, we wanted to welcome you to Paisley Stage, Raspberry, and Rhyme.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited.
Absolutely, and as Jeff mentioned, we've really been enjoying the Gentle Cycle album. And before we start talking about it, we wanted to touch upon your work with the Rain Parade, and there was a recent announcement that the band will be opening for the Flaming Groovies on May 10th of this year at the Chapel in San Francisco. And could you share with our listeners a little bit about how you began playing with the Rain Parade?
Yeah. I met them when a band that I used to be in opened for them on their first reunion show back in 2012. And Matt and I became good friends right away. You know, I've been a big fan of the band for a long time, since I was a kid. So it was very thrilling to play with them, meet them, and that whole thing. And then I ended up doing a little bit of guitar tech work for them, which morphed into Matt asking me to play acoustic guitar on a song or two. And then it just, I guess, organically went into me playing full-time in the Helenes and then full-time in Rain Parade also. And I'm playing mostly guitar, but also some keyboards and some percussion, just to, we're really concentrating on getting all of the elements, or as many of the elements from the recordings as we can, mm-hmm. for the live experience.
Fantastic.
That's super cool. It sounds like a similar story to as for Tommy Thayer from Kiss, and I know that Matt is a huge Kiss fan. Okay, maybe he's not. But it sounds,
you better be careful with that one.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I'm just jesting.
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So further, Derek, along the lines of talking about Rain Parade, you guys recorded three contributions for the 3x4 Paisley Underground project, and the band recorded versions of the 3 o'clock's As Real As Real, the Dream Syndicate's When You Smile, and the Bangles' Real World. How was it recording these songs with the band, and were you familiar with the original versions?
It was incredible. The entire experience, everything that led up to it, and in the sessions that when we recorded the songs, there was a lot of time put into the arrangements. Whether it was on Matt's back porch or in the rehearsal studio. You know, I was really happy to be a part of the process of working on everything. You know, Matt and Steven spend a lot of time working together. They're really the brain trust of the band, but it was a thrill to be around for part of the process and working through the songs. And yeah, I'm a big fan of the Bangles. So Real World's one of my favorites. I was really glad that we got to do that one. And yeah, I mean, I like all of the bands. So I heard everything before. So it was exciting to record all of the songs that we did.
Well, I want to expand on this a little and ask how it was working with the groups, the Bangles, 3 o'clock and Dream Syndicate, when you did the recent live session for World Cafe. And I've seen little snippets of video of you all playing live online that were shared on your Instagram. But how was that working live with these artists?
It was so much fun. It was just one of those magical days. And, you know, as somebody who wasn't around in the, you know, in the heyday of the Paisley Underground, being able to watch old friends interact with each other and all of the mutual respect and support that they were giving each other throughout the day was really incredible. And everybody rose to the occasion and played beautifully. And there was a lot of members of different bands sitting in with other bands and helping out. And it was just a very special thing. KSCN shot some video of the performances. So I'm hoping that they'll get that online soon so everybody can check that out.
Yeah. We hope so too.
Yeah. We'd love to see that. Yeah, that sounds like it was like a really cool experience. Did it look like everybody like reconnected immediately? Apparently some of them hadn't seen each other in years.
Yeah. It was like no time had passed though. There's a lot of talk about the old days and what everybody's up to now and just really good vibes all around.
I like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So, Derek, the Chocolate Watch Band.
Yes.
I mean, these guys were great for back in the day, and they're still playing, and you're part of this band? How did that happen?
Yeah, I got the call in 2015 from Alec Palau asking me if I'd be interested in playing with them. And that's just, one of those no-brainer answers where it's just an immediate yes. And, I worked up a bunch of songs with the band, and we started playing some gigs, and then there was a lot of recording that was going on at the same time. So it took a while to complete the new album, and a lot of it had been in the works before I joined the band, but really glad that we got that out recently.
Yeah, we've heard it. We like it quite a bit. It's it's really good. So, and it's cool that you've got a mix of original members and then new fresh blood like yourself.
Yeah, well, sadly, three of the originals are no longer with us. So we have to do what we can to keep the band and the music alive. And to me, it's very important that those elements, those sonic elements of what made the original recording so cool, are represented in what we do. So that way the fans aren't going to be disappointed with how the songs sound live.
Right.
Luckily, David Aguilar's voice still sounds like it did 50 plus years ago. It's still really strong. So when people hear the Chocolate Watch Band live, they're really getting the experience of those old records as best as we can. So it's exciting to perform that music for people and watch how excited they get when they hear it.
I can only imagine. Yeah.
Exciting. And Derek, speaking of psychedelic rock, I have a two-part question for you. I wanted to ask you about Gentle Cycle, but I also want to know if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners, what drew you in to psychedelic rock? Because when with a Gentle Cycle, you're not just, you know, a guitarist, you're the main songwriter and frontman, and this is a psychedelic album. So talk to us a little bit about what drew you to psychedelic rock, psychedelic music, and then the second part is, what inspired you to start the Gentle Cycle?
Okay, yeah, that all kind of goes together in that from the time I was a little kid, I've really only been interested in music for the most part, and that's been my passion since, you know, as long as I can remember. And thanks to records from my uncle's record collection and my mom's record collection, I was exposed to a lot of music from the 60s and 70s. So, you know, starting with the Beatles and then getting, you know, going beyond that, I'd always gravitated towards that psychedelic sound. And then when I was growing up, I was able to hear bands like Rain Parade. And then when I was a teenager in the early 90s, there was the big shoegaze movement with My Bloody Valentine and all those bands. And I've been a massive Sonic Youth fan since I was a kid. So all of those elements have always been in place for me. And, you know, I've also been a pretty hardcore record digger since I was a kid too. So I've been seeking out all of these records and drawing influence from that. So, psychedelic rock and 60s soul music have always been my biggest loves. So, and as far as the Gentle Cycle thing, I hadn't fronted a band in a long time, and I had a few flashes of inspiration and wrote some songs and first put out a couple 7-inch singles, just seeing what would happen. I thought for sure that I'd be sitting with a closet full of records that people wouldn't be interested in buying, but fortunately the singles sold pretty quickly, and that gave me the inspiration to put together an actual band to record an album, which we did. And at the time I thought that it was going to be my last statement as a songwriter, because I'm not that prolific. And when it comes down to it, I enjoy playing in other bands so much, being the supporting member, you know, like I do in Rain Parade and the Watch Band and whoever else I'm playing with. But then that was 2 years ago that record initially came out. And then the end of last summer, my friend Roy Kaiser, who owns a record store here in LA, got a hold of the Gentle Cycle record and asked me what it would take for him to license the record for reissue. And so we made a deal to do that. And I said, you know, since this band is inactive, I feel it's my duty to have an actual band to promote the record since you're investing in it. And he said, well, you don't have to do that. This can be an archival thing. I said, no, I really want to, because the fact that you believe in this record, it makes me have some confidence to want to start writing again and put together a new version of the band to play the music live. And I've written a bunch of songs for the next album. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have a new record at least finished, if not out.
Wonderful. Because this is a fantastic album. It's fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. And hearing comments like that really motivate me to want to keep doing it. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah, well, we like it quite a bit.
You heard it here first. Possibly by the end of the year, if not definitely into 2020, more Gentle Cycle, which is great to hear. Thank you for that.
Yeah, we're excited.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a single that'll be out this year. It's a label called 13 O'Clock Records in Austin, Texas. I made a deal with them to put out a 45. So
okay,
so that's exciting. We're working on that currently.
That's great. Really cool. And a little bit later, we'll talk to you about your love of the 45
yes.
format.
All right.
So the band had originally put out a pressing of 300 records, right, before this reissue came out, and that you sold those out. So with this new version, we're really excited because it comes not only in the black vinyl version, but also two gorgeous splatter versions, a blue splatter and a clear splatter. Both of those look great.
Yeah, that was something that I'd always wanted to do, and Roy was cool enough to make that happen. It's, they really came out nice with the colors of the splatter matching the album cover.
They look fantastic.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a beautiful LP. Okay, so let's talk Gentle Cycle. Let's talk the album, and I want to start off with the lead-off track, which is called Follow Light. Right off the bat, the needle drops, and we know this band has come to rock. Can you talk to us a little bit about the other musicians who joined you on this track?
Yeah. It's all the same guys that are based in San Jose and that play on the first record. And Craig, the drummer, and I played together in Careless Hearts previously, and he's been a good friend, and I'd always wanted to have him in a band. And I have my friend Maxwell Borkenhagen played second guitar. Him and I DJed together, and we love a lot of the same kind of music, and he was a very important contributor in that he helps with the engineering, and he wrote a lot of really cool guitar parts that are on the record. And a coworker of his, Todd Flanagan, played bass, and he has a very unique style with a lot of fuzzy tones and really cool ideas. So it was a really really nice assortment of people that put their heads together and had a lot of freedom to do their thing on the recording. As a band leader, I occasionally give people ideas on what I'm after, but for the most part, I like for them to express themselves in the song in the way that they see fit.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
So there's a lot of organic ideas because of that on the record.
I love that. Yeah. And Derek, speaking of fuzz, the next song, Love Is the Plan, you really bring the psychedelic fuzz guitar on that, or the band does. So I'm curious, can you tell our listeners about some of the equipment that you used? I was actually chatting with Matt Pucci today, and he was really impressed with the equipment that you used. So can you tell our listeners what you use and what you use to record the Gentle Cycle?
Yeah. It was, I used an old Marshall combo amp for just about everything. And either a 1965 Fender Jazzmaster or a 1960 Stratocaster. Those are the guitars that are all over the album. And the fuzz face pedal like Hendrix used, and also the Univibe pedal, which Hendrix used a lot. So I'm basically trying to do like a Hendrix setup in in Gentle Cycle. But then I use an Echoplex also for a lot of the spacey stuff and wah-wah. So pretty much your basic late 60s rock and roll setup. But yeah, I love the old gear because it definitely recreates those sounds, and it also is inspirational to me as a musician because those guitars have a lot of soul in them from being played for so long, and I feel like they have stories that are oozing out from the wood, which I'm trying to channel a little bit of that also in the playing.
Yeah, I think that definitely comes across.
100%, yeah.
Yet it still feels original at the same time, I would say.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal. I mean, I would never want to just copy things, but I think it's pretty clear when music fans listen, they hear the influences, which I'm really happy when people say that they hear a lot of originality in music. That means a lot to me.
Yeah. Well, keeping that in mind, can we talk about U-Line? So U-Line, sure. To me is a track that I think the first time I heard it, I literally had to go back and listen to it again. It really just, there's a lot coming at me as a listener, and I'm just curious, what inspired you to write this song? And if you could just elaborate a little on the arrangement. I really like this song a lot.
Yeah, that song is written about, and I don't talk about the literal meanings of my songs very often. So
okay.
I'm glad you asked. It's written about when we're in situations in life where it seems like everything is going okay, but there's that undercurrent of uneasiness,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that there has to be some kind of a change in order to be satisfied and happy.
Right.
So I used a little bit of a analogy to trains and, you know, getting somewhere else in the song. And with the arrangement and the recording, I really wanted to make it sound like it was underwater, you know, just this mess of, you know, kind of fuzzy, but not painful to listen to. I wanted it to sound pleasant but extreme.
Okay.
So there's, you know, we recorded it on 8-track reel to reel, and there were a lot of overdubs on it, which just kept adding layers of hiss and, you know, all these other layers, to the point where when we mixed it was difficult to get the drums to pop through. The only thing I'm not completely happy with is the drums are kind of soft sounding on that song, but I think in a way it adds to the vibe.
Yeah. It is a very cool song. And I love hearing about all the elements that put it together. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you. Glad you like it.
So my favorites, I actually have 3 favorites on the song. The whole album I like quite a bit, but the next one is one of my 3 favorites, and that's Shells and Spells.
Yeah.
So this is the fourth song on the album, and to me, this one feels like I could totally picture the Monkees performing this. In fact, it kind of reminds me of Nesmith's Your Auntie Griselda a little bit. Can you talk about...
Yeah, I've heard that comparison a few times.
Yeah, so it definitely has that sort of vibe. You talked a little bit about it earlier, but can you tell us about your musical influences?
Yeah, all things 60s, really. I'm a huge Monkees fan, and it's funny, I didn't think about Auntie Griselda until someone brought it up, but I was blatantly thinking about the rhythm of Sir Douglas Quintet's She's About a Mover, that song, which is probably what influenced that Monkees track. But I just love that era. I love it sonically. I love the songwriting. So yeah, that's numero uno, but it goes a lot beyond that. And I listen to a lot of old blues and jazz recordings, you know, mostly from the 50s and 60s, that era. And even a lot of like early 70s hard rock, a lot of, you know, the 80s indie stuff, 80s and 90s indie, and that kind of music, and a lot of new stuff as well. So just kind of a sponge for anything that catches my ears.
So if we
always try to seek out new stuff.
That's great. If we had to nail you down and ask for your top three bands, and you can't say Rain Parade or Chocolate Watch Band.
Rain Parade and Chocolate Watch Band would be in the top 10. Absolutely. But If I were to say the three favorites, it would be the Beatles, Pink Floyd, and Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Wow,
awesome!
I like that.
And Velvet Underground, a close fourth, also.
And for our listeners, before I ask my next question, definitely seek out Derek's social media, because all the artists that he's mentioning here pop up at different times on his social media. And if you ever want a lesson, go there.
Yes.
And he'll definitely guide you. He'll give you a thought for the day based on an artist that he picks. I mean, I've been really enjoying that musical journey through your social media. So I want to encourage everybody to track you down. And I want
that makes me really happy to hear.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, you post some fantastic things and things that have had me thinking, or that make me go to my own collection and pull it out and listen to it again. So I've been really enjoying it. I want to talk about the song that finishes Side A with mm-hmm. Way to Decay. And I have to ask you about these lyrics. Okay. So let me just walk you through your own lyrics, if you allow me. Kings and queens. Sure. Kings and queens as they fade away, getting angry as they lose their stay. And then a little later, another tribe now proudly wears the crown. It's all another way to decay. There's a lot for, I like to dig into lyrics, and I wanted to ask you about this song and what inspired you for this message.
Well, it's written about, you know, whether it's the music scene or whatever anybody's into, there's always, you know, the group of people that remind us all of the high school cliques. And they have the strength in numbers, and there's a lot of vicious behavior in what they do. And a lot of times, you look at what's going on in those worlds and think, why do people get satisfaction out of behaving that way? But then, as the counter to that, it's not lasting. Whereas things like art and music last forever, mm-hmm. but bad behavior and treating people poorly and because of having some kind of social status, that's fleeting. So that's the literal meaning of that song, which I tried to make it a bit more poetic, but mm-hmm. it's frustrating because a lot of times that behavior happens in music scenes and it's incredibly toxic. Whereas, you know, it goes back to what you were talking about a little while ago with sharing information about music. To me, there's nothing more positive in life than what music does to us as a drug. And there's so many distractions and bad things that are happening in the world all the time. But when we drop that needle on a record, that could all go away. Mm-hmm. So I kind of feel that it's the responsibility of musicians to try to be more mindful of that and less competitive, less backstabbing.
Wow.
So, yeah, yes.
You can't see it, but I'm giving you a standing ovation right now. After I love that.
We approve this message.
yes, I love that on so many different levels. And by the way, Way to Decay is another one of my three favorites from this record. It's an absolutely great song. But speaking of dropping the needle on the vinyl, if we were to flip over the record to side B, we come in with a rocking song, Memory Day. So we ended side A with a nice acoustic song, and we come back. In fact, side B has four songs on it. The first three are just total rockers. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it earlier, but you even break out the wah pedal for this one again, or somebody in the band does. The song...
Yeah, that's me.
That's you, yeah. Yeah, it's a great sound. This song to me has a very live feeling to it, and unfortunately so far I haven't been able to catch you guys live, so I'm glad you've got this band together because I want to be able to catch you guys live. But can you tell us how the band's live sound compares to the record?
With the new version of the band with LA musicians, it's a bit more polished and streamlined. It's less chaotic, but the elements are still there that you hear on the recording. I think we're with the LA version of the band, we're really kind of getting our footing and getting used to playing the music and having fun with it. But I look forward to recording new music with them and hopefully recording some more with the San Jose guys also.
Oh, great.
It's just impractical. It's impractical for me to only have the San Jose version of the band. So I had to have the second version since I'd moved. So, but yeah, I'm definitely hoping that we can get out and play more in the upcoming days.
Yeah. I would love to catch you guys live.
Well, cool. So I want to ask a follow-up then. Forgive me if it sounds a bit out there. Any plans to bring both versions together?
I have thought about that, actually. I don't know how it could be done, but if it could possibly happen at some point, it would, I think it would be a fun experiment.
Oh my God, Jeff!
So we'll see what happens.
That would be absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I'll have to try to see what I can do then with your encouragement.
Well, shoot, if we can just, you know, throw a couple of wishes, you know, out there, we might. But it just sounds really neat because two versions, and but each brings and contributes something really unique. I would love to see that lineup do something together. Okay, so Jeff talked about one of his favorites. I'm going to talk about one of mine, which is She Came This Way.
Okay.
And in the chorus, you sing, "She came all this way, I'll make sure that she's happy. She came all this way, I'll make sure that she stays free." The question was, it intended, do you tend to write from personal experience, from just observations or situations that you yourself create, or I really like the lyrics in the song, and first of all the arrangement is fantastic, talk to us a little bit about this song. There's a lot here.
Yeah, it is about real life stuff. And it's, that song was completely written for and about my ex-wife, who did move a distance when we got together. And it didn't work out, but we had some great times together. And I think now it takes on a new meaning for me when I sing it. And that it's more just a salute to just trying to always be understanding and supportive of the people that we're with, whether it's a personal relationship or a musical relationship. Because I think that the lyrics can be interpreted in several different ways.
Absolutely.
That it doesn't have to be about a man, woman, or mm-hmm. any kind of love relationship. It can be about just how we support our friends.
Yeah.
So Derek, do you typically write from personal experiences, or do you ever create experiences in your head that are fictional?
They're mostly personal, but I try to put the fictional elements into them, or some kind of gauze that makes things less personal and more universal.
Got it, I suppose. Right.
But, you know, with John Lennon being such a massive influence, I think a lot about how, and Syd Barrett also, you know, mm-hmm. how they twisted literal ideas into things that could be surreal or things that can be open to interpretation. So that's what I'm going for. You know, I wish that I had the creative mind that those guys have. And it's just an endless array of, you know, all these metaphors and ideas, but I do as best as I can and think about those things when I'm writing lyrics.
Yeah.
I love that. That's cool how you take those personal experiences and make them more universal. I think you do a very good job of writing and putting those together.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the second to the last song is Far Beyond.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that title as a jumping off point, because your passion for music is definitely far beyond. So I've read online that your vinyl collection is about 10,000 records deep, including albums and 45 RPM singles. My collection is about 2,000 deep, and yesterday I just rearranged it all, and that took up all of my Sunday just doing that. I can't imagine 10,000 records. But speaking of,
yeah, I've been tearing down. I was up well over 10,000 for a while, but it just started to feel like hoarding records. So I've been letting go of quite a few things.
Okay.
And just but yeah, I still have a lot of records. And yeah. the curation aspect of it can be daunting, but they're enjoyable to have and. Mm-hmm. So much fun to listen to. Yeah.
And like you mentioned earlier, everything changes once the needle drops. At least for me, there's some kind of, I think it's a chemical reaction. Something happens and everything's so much
Absolutely.
Better. Yeah. So you're part of that. The gentle cycle is in my collection. So speaking of 45,
happy to be there.
Yeah. I'm happy you're there too. So speaking of the 45 RPM singles, and Soraya alluded to this earlier, you have the blog, Derek's Daily 45. I think you started that late 2007, from what I can tell. There's about 1,600 entries in that. Can you tell our listeners about the blog and why you decided to put that together?
Yeah, it's the same reason why I still enjoy sharing information about music whenever I can on social media. I realized that at that time, you know, with the abilities of having a blog, you can get those ideas out there and not have to worry about printing a magazine or, you know, any kind of distribution. So the 45 RPM single is such a joyous thing. And there's so many of them that are great that have been under the radar and get hoarded by collectors and, you know, all of that. I just felt that it was important for this music to be heard and take as much time as I could to get as much information about unsung, forgotten heroes as I could. And one of the coolest things that happened throughout the course of writing it was several of the artists or their family members would contact me directly.
Oh, wow.
And say thanks for spreading the word and correct me on details occasionally and things like that, where it's very touching. And they were always happy that somebody was writing about their music. There was never anything like, hey, you know, I don't appreciate this. This is exploitation. It was always the interactions were always good vibes, and I've made a lot of good friends throughout that run. So yeah, it was pretty fun to do that. And occasionally I'll post something up again now, or I'm trying to get higher quality transfers of a lot of these songs up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have time, I do that. And then I post it to the blog also. So
very cool.
But I feel the most important thing is that information remains up there.
Mm-hmm. For our listeners who haven't gone to your blog, you need to go to this blog, because it's a true passion piece, but also the information provided, I think, is just so substantive. It's really good.
Agreed.
So, and 1,600 entries, you've got some reading material.
Yeah,
there's a lot there.
but absolutely worthwhile. And Derek, I want to ask you about the final song on the album, which is New Day. And I find it interesting, and I wanted to ask about the sequencing of the album and how you reached the decisions for the sequence. Because Side A also ends on a different note than the previous tracks. It ends with a more acoustic song. And then on Side B, New Day is a prominently acoustic track.
These other meetings on the lighthouse, a different view, all rearranged and based from all that I got. 'cause no one's ever known the real me.
So can you talk to us a little bit about those decisions regarding the sequencing? Was that purposeful on both sides?
Yeah, it was. For one thing, with pressing records, when you get to those inner grooves, it's always best to have a quieter song, because sometimes a louder song, there can be groove distortion in how the record's pressed. So it was pragmatic to do that. But I also find that I like that feel of ending the side with a different kind of mood. And with New Day, I wanted to end the record with something that was gave the feel of open-ended possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I've never heard that.
And I love acoustic music also. And, you know, being a Led Zeppelin fan, you know, there's always those moments on Zeppelin records where the acoustic track comes in and it just changes everything and, you know, gives that light and shade for the listening experience.
Wow. That's cool. That's really cool. I've never heard about that as far as the grooves as they approach the center label. That's something that's new to me. That's very interesting.
Yeah, it's not that noticeable always, but it can happen. So out of trying to avoid that, it gave a bit of a patented sound for the record. So there you go.
Nice. So with your love for Zeppelin, I'm expecting to hear a little bit more about Wizards and some more fantasy type stuff on the second record. So that'll be great to look forward to.
I'll see what I can do.
Well, Derek, obviously you're a busy man and you're involved in a lot of projects between the blog, playing with Rain Parade, Chocolate Watch Band, and two versions of the Gentle Cycle. Can you tell our audience what we can expect coming from Derek C in the future?
Yeah, well, there's the Gentle Cycle single that'll definitely be out this year. Hopefully, album number 2 will be out this year, if not early next year. There's talk of Rain Parade going into the studio soon. There's some great songs that Matt and Steven have been working on that I know I'm really excited with the possibilities of getting those out to the world. And there's an instrumental band in LA that I play in called the Wildwood Green that also has 2 singles coming out within the next few months. So quite a bit of stuff happening.
Wow. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. And speaking of looking forward, Soraya and I booked our flights today to go to San Francisco. So we're looking forward to seeing you guys open up for the Flaming Groovies. Yeah.
Fantastic. It'd be great to see you two there.
Hey. And Derek, one last question. What's the best way for our listeners and your new fans to follow you? What social media?
I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook and Instagram. So yeah, that's a good place. And then the music is all available pretty easily, you know, on all the regular platforms. And so, yeah, it's the great thing about 2019 is that musicians may not get paid what we hope to get paid for our recordings, but the music is available to those who want to hear it and enjoy it very easily. They don't have to seek it out, you know, special ordering things from a record store or this and that. You know, it's like all it takes is a click and you can give this stuff a listen.
Yeah, speaking of click, I did want to mention that you guys have a Bandcamp page, so that's at thegentlecycle.bandcamp.com. Derek can also be find the blog that we were talking about earlier. It's Derek's Daily 45, the numerals 45.blogspot.com. And then, of course, Derek can be found on Facebook and Instagram as Derek C, S-E-E, or the band The Gentle Cycle. I definitely recommend, as Soraya mentioned earlier, following Derek. There's all kinds of great information that comes, and my wish list is like tripling since I started following Derek. So I will add that it's dangerous too.
But what did you say earlier? It's the drug, right? It's it leads us into other things, but yeah,
it does.
Yeah. Well, Derek, we want to thank you for your time. You're such a busy person with all these different projects. Just thank you for carving out the time to speak with us and our listeners. And thank you again. We're looking forward to seeing you with all the projects that you're involved with, and looking forward to this Gentle Cycle new single and album.
Yes.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure talking to you both. I really appreciate you helping spread the word, and it was just great to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Have a good one. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good
night. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Soraya?
Are you blown away?
That was so cool. There were things that he talked about that I had no idea about with the grooves as they approach.
Yeah.
And then what he was saying about the cliques, the high school cliques that happens in the music industry. And man, he's just a very insightful guy.
Look, he's obviously not just a very dedicated and passionate musician, but he's a dedicated and passionate music fan. I mean, look at all the information that he gave us. And I mean, I know he was probably just glossing over, you know, from the amps to the guitars to the arrangement. And then with this, the group distortion issue, I'm blown away.
Yeah. And this album, it's, I'm really enjoying it. There's a lot going on. And for any fan of psychedelic rock music, and especially any fans of the Paisley Underground, I think this totally fits in with that kind of stuff. So in any of our listeners, I would highly recommend, if you like the samples that we've played on today's episode, definitely seek that out. The Bandcamp page is a good place to start for that.
Yeah. And, I mean, Jeff and I kind of shared some of the songs that we really enjoyed, but, we'd love to hear from you once you give it a listen. As Derek mentioned, you can find it on all of the available platforms that people find music on now. It's really accessible. The album is good, and it's a really solid production, and it's worth your time. It's worth a listen. It is very, very good.
Yes.
And, you know, if you've never heard some of the things that Derek was mentioning, you know, the wah-wah pedal and the fuzz, listen, because there's a lot of layers to all these tracks musically. I mean, it's a lot of fun to listen to.
Agreed.
Wow. A lot of stuff to think about. 1,600 entries, 10,000 albums.
That's crazy.
But I like how you said, well, you know, I'm starting to pare down.
I would imagine
gets over 10,000. I'm starting to pare down.
I would imagine it gets to a point where it's just not practical.
Can I just share one other observation? For a guy that's involved with four bands, I counted four. Okay, Rain Parade, Gentle Cycle, Chocolate Watchman, and then this instrumental group.
Yeah.
With Green. Boy, you definitely couldn't tell that this is a guy that's got a lot going on. It's in it. Just calm, cool, grounded, very cool.
Yeah. I bet he bleeds music.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Well, speaking about talented guitar players, on our next episode, you know, I'm super excited about this one too. Soraya, we're going to have Jason Faulkner.
Yes.
So Jason played with the 3 O'Clock on their last album, Vermillion. And he's played with Jellyfish. He's played with the great. If I start naming them, I'm going to go on forever. But
keep going. Let's just give some nibbles.
Well, I'm most a fan, actually, of his solo stuff. But he's actually worked with Paul McCartney. He worked with Pugwash. He worked with our Stevie Moore. He's worked with Daniel Johnston. There's so much stuff, but those Jellyfish records, the Grays record that he did, all great. And of course, we're big fans of the 3 o'clock, and he recently performed with them at the Wild Honey Kinks event. So that was really cool. So I'm really looking forward to that. So that'll be our next episode.
Gente, you got some good music and good musicians coming your way. So
yes, indeed.
Enjoy it. Jeff, shall we? Gente, agrubiat.
Groove on, Paisley people.
Later.
Hi, I'm Derek C., visiting Chicago from the West Coast. I'm a musician and record fanatic. Known our host for many years from when I used to live in this area. And good to see Dan again, doing something cool.
Yeah,
I worked at a guitar shop for 10 years, but a year ago I quit and just started doing records and playing music full time. So. Well, I was guitar tech for James Williamson with the Stooges. I played a little bit of keyboards on stage with those guys. Yeah, I'm now in the Chocolate Watch Band. Real heroes of mine. You know, one of my favorite bands of the '60s. It's total dream.
Yeah,
I have my own band called the Gentle Cycle. I also play in a Rain Parade offshoot band called the Helenes.
I have not heard about that one.
Yeah, and I also play with the Rain Parade a little bit. More heroes. I selected Pink Floyd, Piper at the Gates of Dawn. You know, we were just talking about how difficult it is for us to pick one record before the tape started rolling here, but I just kind of went zen and thought, you know what, there's so many of the seminal records of the '60s, you know, that everyone knows, like Odyssey and Oracle, Forever Changes, Revolver, etc., etc. As much love as this one gets, it doesn't get quite as much love as those, in my experience. And to me, it's one of the most groundbreaking records ever made, and one of those magical 1967 debut records. You know, I can't think of any other year where there were so many great debut records. Velvet Underground, Doors, Pink Floyd, it's unbelievable.
The fight between the blue you once knew. Floating down, the sound resounds around the icy waters underground. Jupiter and Saturn, over on Miranda and Titania. Neptune, Titan, stars.
Floyd fanatic from being a little kid. My mom's a fan, so I knew the popular stuff, but then this came out on CD, I think I was in junior high school, and I got it, and I had no idea what was in store for me. It just, you know, to use the cliche, it blew my mind. Man, did it blow my mind. And got me into the Syd Barrett solo stuff at the same time, and just, you know, as far as kind of plotting a career path on what I was going to do musically, this is a major, major record. And even after all these years, I can still listen to it every day if I have the chance. Well, interestingly enough, this isn't my copy, but this is a really nice mono American copy in the shrink wrap. Very, very nice collectible. The interesting thing about this is, just like a lot of the Beatles records in the '60s, the track listing got changed by Capitol. And they took off the lead-off track, Astronomy Domini, and replaced it with the song that was the single that was current, which is See Emily Play, which is an amazing single. And they also took off Bike, which is Sid at his most English eccentric. Astronomy Domini is probably tied with Matilda Mother as being my favorite songs on this record.
Cool.
Astronomy Domini, because it just, nothing else before it sounded like it. It was so heavy with that riff, not getting too geeky with music theory, but the way that the chord changes happened during that riff, it was not only inspirational to heavy to psychedelic music, but also you can hear elements of that riff in heavy metal. And Matilda Mother is great because lyrically it's just shows how unique Syd Barrett was, and musically it's beautiful. Pink Floyd's secret weapon really for most of their career was Rick Wright's keyboards and harmonies, which that's the one thing that to my ears really identifies this as, you know, the more famous post Syd Barrett Pink Floyd. Mm. For the longest time I thought that I never needed to listen to Dark Side, Wish You Were Here, or The Wall again. I felt that they were so ingrained into me. But in the last couple of years, I've come back to those albums and just realized how great they are. Yeah, you can tell that these people weren't posing. They were going to the other side.
Yeah.
And one of them didn't come back.
Yeah, you're still a psychedelic person.
Very much so.